You ever wonder which social media platform is best for your church? Well, we're going to dig into the top 11 social media channels, and we're going to tell you once and for all which ones you should be using. Let's do this.
You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow.
Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about social media platforms that churches should be using, shouldn't be using. We're actually going to rank them for you. This is going to be our list. I think I'm just going to say this as a disclaimer before we get too deep. Your list may vary. I'm not saying that these are the right choices for every church in all circumstances and always what you should choose. But we wanted to give you kind of our opinion for the general, generic church avatar out there. These are the platforms that we would probably, we'd give you recommendations on which ones are worth your time, which are kind of meh, and which ones are probably not ones we should be using. So,
which ones are
what do
mid?
You laugh about? You think meh? Yeah, we don't. Yeah, kids
meh
say,
and mid. Mid's the one that all the kids are saying.
I told
too,
my
right,
daughter so. That yesterday. I said, "Oh, that's kind of mid." And then she said to me, she looked at me and she goes, "Bruh," is what she said to me. So it's like I guess we're in that season.
Bruh, that's come back. We used to use that when we were younger too. You probably in Hawaii, I would imagine. But yeah,
so Hawaii is the birthplace of brah. Like, so that's all I knew for, it's short for brada, which is brother in Hawaiian or pidgin. Everybody was, hey, brah, is how you would say it here.
My kids are saying the same stuff. Yep. So
universal.
Anyway, and if I try to use one of those words, it just doesn't sound cool. So there you go.
Yeah. So take your social media advice from us, chill, fresh guys here. We'll give you some input. No, but this is from actual research.
We learned from our teenagers. So there you go. We're still relevant.
We learned from our teenagers. Yeah. And I'll have you know that our podcast team, especially our writers, they definitely skew heavy on the Gen Z side.
Yes, they do.
And we kind of process some of this with. Yeah. But we're going in blind. I don't know what you're going to say, what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
On these, you're going to kind of give I'm going to give you these responses on the fly, try to be as authentic as possible, and we'll talk about it. But before we get any deeper, let's reveal our bias. The social media platform, Ian, that you use the most is blank. What is it?
It's YouTube now.
Yeah, it's got to be for me too. Like it's close between YouTube and X, Twitter.
I don't use that at all. So
I use that like in the traditional way that I used to use social media.
Yeah.
But YouTube is my primary thing. I probably spend more time on YouTube, I think. I was telling my wife the other day, if something just fell apart in our lives and we had to cancel every single streaming subscription that we have and could only keep one, I would fight for YouTube Premium. That'd be the one that I would most want to keep. Do you have YouTube Premium?
Same here.
You guys have it?
I don't have Premium. We have YouTube TV.
Okay,
I don't have Premium, though, for normal YouTube usage. So
So I use enough of it that I can't tolerate ads anymore.
I'm... I can tolerate them and I can wait a minute and then click through, and it just depends, right? So
All right. So you're going into this. Just want you to realize that this is our personal preference, and I think we'll actually be able to be unbiased about this, because I think as I think about those two channels, I have different ideas for both of them. But let's get into it, Ian. Now that we know where we're coming from.
And we're
why don't
rank
you share
these? I'll introduce how we're going to rank these. So we're going to have best for churches, useful but imperfect. So that's the mid one, and then we have just limited use, if any at all. So, so that's the way we're ranking it: best, useful, limited, and then first will be none other than Facebook. I was kind of annoyed by even mentioning this one first now.
We didn't start with MySpace, at least, so that's okay.
No, we did not.
That's where you and I started, at least, was MySpace.
That's right.
But,
that's right. We did, and no, we did not. We did start there, you and I, back in the day. I used that a lot. As a matter of fact, I actually led a couple of people to the Lord that way. So,
is that right? MySpace.
You post your music, and then you can even share your little a testimony on there, or blogs. Do you remember? You can even kind of do like a blog in there.
I do remember that.
Now we're not going to waste any more time on that because it's gone. So
All right, Facebook. You ask.
Yeah.
Facebook. Yep. Okay. 2 years ago, this would have been best. Today, It's I'd say high useful, I would say. Yeah, I'm going to maybe like, I might get some blowback on this one because I think this is the first time I've ever ranked it anything other than number one. We've done these kinds of episodes in the past. I would tell churches, if you're going to do only one, it has to be Facebook still. As someone that's an executive pastor, I meet every month with our social media team at my church. I can tell you that has, and I know just from ReachRight too, that like just really diminishing returns for us on Facebook for the kind of content that churches put out. Now, I'm sure there are many of our listeners that still get great results from Facebook. We've just seen it really diminish. That's not to say that I wouldn't use Facebook. I think most churches probably should still be using Facebook. We'll get this out of the way here early. We definitely see a generational divide between social media platforms. Gen X are most likely to be on Facebook. Millennials most likely to be on Instagram. And Gen Z, generally speaking, have the most affinity for TikTok. So that's kind of where we see these things falling a lot of times. As someone who is like right on the Gen X millennial border at my age, I know you're a deep Gen Xer at your age, Ian. But for me, I know that like I'm not as into Facebook as maybe someone at your age is typically. Yeah. So,
and but again, for those that don't know, I'm a year older than Thomas.
2 years on the calendar. So so I would say that it's still something you should use because you can use a lot of the same content you're posting on other platforms. Yeah. So I wouldn't just rule it out. You probably already have one already if you're an existing church. But I can't in good conscience put it in the best category anymore. And it has to be in the useful category. Still, again, useful, but not one of the creme de la creme, if it were.
I totally agree, and I still hear from most churches that I consult with that you know, that's the first one that they still mention, but I know why. It's because, and this, we're not going to get off onto this subject, but it's just because they all started using Facebook Live from the pandemic, Facebook Live. Yeah. And so that's where it's still relevant in a lot of churches' minds, but that's a whole nother subject, and quite frankly, that's not enough. So
there's definitely a place for live. I think there's some case to be made for Facebook groups. Those are all limited, I think, in their use. I think there is still some usefulness for it, but just not the top.
Next one's a biggie, I think, Instagram.
Yep. I think it has to be best. Right? This has to be still best. I think that it has reached its peak in my view. So I think that I don't see it like kind of ascending over platforms more than it has. I think its peak was probably about a year or so ago, maybe a year before that. But it is still probably the primary one. I think, again, tried and true with millennials. But even like with young people, I was asking my kids the other day, like when someone asks for like, if they're interested in a girl or a guy, the way that you ask for numbers like we used to when we were kids, Ian, is you ask for their Instagram. That's kind of, hey, what's your Instagram? That's kind of the pickup question that most people
do nowadays. Did not know that.
Yeah, so watch out for your kids.
Maybe my 16-year-old daughter's hiding that information from me.
Perhaps. So I think it's a big opportunity. Again, the content that you're able to post on there is going to be very similar. And I think in most cases for churches, it's going to be repurposed sermons that are made into reels. You'll probably put that onto both Facebook and Instagram and probably other platforms we'll talk about here. But yeah, I think that if I was going to put my attention, if it's just kind of a generic church and this is like what you're asking, hey, where should I start? Probably Instagram would be at the very top of the best.
Yep, agreed. So this next one, I'm curious to hear your thoughts because if I were to give a gesture to in how this one is in my mind, it would be something like this, but it's Snapchat.
Yeah, so I don't even know. My kids don't use it anymore.
The reason I went like this is my kids did, then they stopped, and now they use it again.
Oh, they do it again. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if it somehow made some sort of comeback that we don't know.
So,
ish.
Snapchat is the birthplace of stories and kind of where that whole model came. But I think most of that has moved on to Instagram today. It's where people are sharing stories and those kinds of things, or Facebook My Day or whatever they call it on other platforms.
Yeah.
So stories are still really powerful. Great for churches to do stories as well. I think that has gone away. I think it's primarily still a valuable tool for kind of private, temporary messaging. I think in most cases, churches shouldn't do a lot of that. I think that that gives me a little bit, because it's usually going to be younger people. I don't like youth pastors communicating at our church via Snapchat to kids. I just don't think that's appropriate. I think you should consider some of the ramifications of that. Yeah. If there's messages that are self-destructing that are out there. So I would say it's limited at best would be the way I would rate it. Yeah. But that's kind of my take.
That's good. Agreed. And next one, TikTok.
TikTok. Okay. So I'm going to do this like removed from any of the debate about it going away and Chinese spies those kinds of things that come with it. It could be that, you know, shortly after this episode airs that TikTok is gone. It could be that it's here for 40 more years for all we know. So this is not a prediction on any of that. But I think as far as its usefulness today, Q1 of 2025, I would say is that it's in the best category because I think that it's something if you want to reach the generation that is now becoming young families that churches are trying to reach, they are actually Gen Zers. Zers are in their late 20s at this point. So it's really something that I think you'd want to reach out into that area. I think it's nice because you can use some of the same content you're putting on Instagram Reels, you're putting on Facebook Reels. I think that same content can be on TikTok. So we have seen huge growth opportunities there still. Again, I have seen diminishing returns from posting things like sermon repurposed videos, but I still think there's a great opportunity there for most churches. So I would put this in the best category.
And definitely to engage the next generation too, because not just the soon to be younger families, teens are using it big time too. So, but if you're wanting to use reach youth, of course, which most churches are. Yep. So next one, the one we were biased and picked at the beginning, YouTube.
Good. Okay. So this one, you can call it my bias, and that's fine. But I think that it is tailor-made to be the best platform for social media for churches. I think a lot of times we get confused because we don't feel like it's actually as social as other platforms. You'll never get as many comments on a video in most cases as you would for the same number of people seeing a picture or a reel that you would put onto TikTok. You'll get a lot more comments on there. So people don't often think of it as a social media platform, but my goodness, it's just so perfect for churches. We're already, in most cases, filming our sermons. It's a great place for us to put them. And you're already maybe making videos for TikTok. Yep. It's a great place to put these videos into YouTube Shorts. There is so much strategy that goes with it. I will say that. And we've done some content. We'll put a link here to another video where you can learn how to optimize your uploads in YouTube. But this platform is tried and true. And I think what's best about it is that it's social, but at the same time, it has much more of a lifespan than any other platform. A video that you put onto TikTok, in 99% of cases, all of its views will happen in the first 24 hours. Maybe 1% of views will happen after that first 24 hours. Yeah. On YouTube, if you get your packaging right, I mean like titles and thumbnails and your content, your sermons are good, you're putting that kind of stuff on there, it can have a lifespan of 10 years. Like, a sermon that I preached back in 2017 is probably maybe not as valuable, maybe slightly different because the illustrations might not be as relevant, but it's almost just as valuable as it was all those years ago, right?
Yeah,
so that's a good huge point. Opportunity, especially for us as we're doing weekly content creation, put it on YouTube. It is a home run. I said that Instagram might be the top of the best. I'm going to usurp that and put YouTube very top, then Instagram, then TikTok, and my general church kind of tier list that I have there. So
that sounds
if there was a top tier, it's YouTube.
Sounds about right. And we're consulting churches on how to use YouTube more effectively day in and day out. It just seems to only be increasing. We have so many churches that see us there. It's just, definitely. I agree with you on that. So next one, interested to hear your thoughts on this one, Twitter or X.
Okay. So this one, I told you I use it the most.
Yeah.
I would say that I'm going to give this a caveat. So I would say I'd put this actually at the very bottom. So it would be limited use for churches. And that's the question we're dealing with.
Yeah, churches.
Is it for churches? Is it limited use? Yes. And the reason for that is because I think that Twitter or X, they are, it's the most personality driven
right.
of all of the platforms that are out there. So if the question was, which platform is best for pastors, I would put Twitter at the top. It would be of
that's
the best.
That's a good point.
I think creating content as a pastor, as an individual, kind of building your brand that way, if that's the kind of ministry that you're doing, there isn't a better platform for that today. I think it's really fantastic for building your brand. But when it comes to an actual church, we've just seen very few churches have real success on X by posting any kind of content because people want to follow real people and not kind of the corporate brand. It's great for fielding like complaints about your church, which I don't know if that's really what you want to be doing, but it's a good channel for that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just don't see it as being, it would be one of the last ones I would recommend.
Yeah, that's good. And we're about to move into this like back half here. Of some interesting ones. I think they'll still be good conversation, but I think we're going to kind of lead into some that they're going to be like, next one would be LinkedIn.
Okay, LinkedIn, I could make a case that it's more than limited, and I would probably put it like a low-tier useful, if I was going to rank it there.
Yeah,
I think that it depends on the size of your church. If you're a church of 30 people, I don't know that there's a ton of value for you on LinkedIn.
Right.
I think if you're a church of 1,000 people that... You know, every year you probably have 4 or 5 job openings that are happening on that you can post onto LinkedIn. And you have kind of a corporate culture, if you will. I hate saying that about church. Let's not even say that. If you have like a culture that kind of your staff maintains and things there is some value to having a LinkedIn page. And I think it's also like Twitter or X, there is value in the personality side of LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So it's more professional in its nature. Right. And if you're trying to build relationship with your staff as kind of the thought leaders in the world of ministry, LinkedIn is actually a decent place for that to happen. So I'd put it right on the line, but I'll maybe just kind of give it a little bit of a push up to limitedly useful. Let's call it that.
That sounds about right. Next one, Pinterest.
Pinterest, I've never seen a church kill it at this. I've seen a couple of churches try with, like we said, mid results at best. So I'd love to hear if there's a church out there that has had a wild success story with Pinterest. The primary uses that I see Pinterest for are for sharing kind of creative ideas about church stage design, Easter decorations, Christmas decorations in the church facility, photo booths.
Recipes. No, just kidding.
Perhaps, church photo booths. And I find that useful. But as far as like from a reaching our community for Jesus perspective, I don't know that it has a lot of use. So I think it's limited at best.
Yeah. This next one might be a little bit of a curveball. Interesting, at least. Reddit?
Yeah. So this one is interesting. So I think this is not one that goes into someone's mindset. And I actually think that from a traditional social media perspective, I don't know that there's a lot of... building a subreddit for your church or those kinds of things. I don't know that there's a lot of value in that necessarily. What I have seen, however, is that there's been some major search changes with Google and in Google search. And I don't know if you've noticed this, Ian, but when you do a general search now, they are really boosting 2 specific sites. One is Reddit, and then one is Quora, which is kind of a Reddit clone that people ask questions and people answer them.
Yep, I have noticed that.
So I think that there is a play here for churches. I think not so much on even creating the Reddits around things, but being active on Reddit, having your church social media person, or even better, your pastor of your church, being active on Reddit, asking or answering theological questions, weighing in on conversations.
Yeah.
We're seeing over and over again that that's ranking really high. And especially if you can maybe tie that back to your church, I think that only helps with your search juice. So there's kind of like an edge case where there's some value here on Reddit as a social network for your church's growth. I don't really know, but I think there is some value in it. So I'll put it still at limited use, but it's not something to totally dismiss, I would say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So this one we almost like mixed, we almost 86th, I should say, not mixed, but Spotify.
Yeah. So we almost got rid of Spotify because we sat here before this episode and said, like, what on earth? How is Spotify a social platform? So, well, I don't think it's one that can be anything more than limited. I will say that as a church, and I think it's borderline social media at best. You talked about some places where you can, what do you call it? There are jam sessions you can start, basically,
It's
kind
of funny. When I'm at the gym, things will, someone having a session will pop up, and then you can... if that's the right way to put it, and that'll pop up, and not just in a gym setting. Let me finish that thought. Will pop up that someone's listening to their playlist, and if they allow you, and if you're connected with them, you can jump in and listen to what they're listening to. So this takes me to a place where I'm thinking about this for, you know, people sharing worship playlists, right, or something, and during that time. So there is some interaction, and you can share, and you can jump in. But that's about the extent from what I understand. Yeah.
I think there's value in that, though. So I kind of like that idea. Yeah. And it's something that... So I'll tell you what we did. This is years ago, before there was any of this jam session stuff. But at my church, we put on our homepage, we embedded a Spotify player that had, like, our top 25 worship songs that we did as a church, that we, because we wanted to introduce someone that's a first, it was on our visitors page. And if someone was coming for the first time, we wanted them to see, hey, what's the music going to be like, and give them a feel for what the kind of songs are going to take. And I think that we were in the Midwest. This is a church that was in Madison, Wisconsin, that I was pastoring. And so I think maybe some people's impression of church, so many people were Lutheran there, and that was their background.
Right.
And so we wanted them to know it wasn't just us singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God every week and that kind of stuff. We have, like, contemporary. So we put that on there on the Spotify playlist. So I think limited, I'd still say it's limited. It may be high limited
with it.
And I think it's something you can do.
This last one may be least, maybe not. Be real.
Be real. Yeah. You were a be realer for a while, right?
That's funny. Yeah. We were talking right before this, right? I was like, oh, I forgot all about it, because for a little while, and maybe it was around the pandemic, is I think when it came on the scene, my kids started using it. And this is when they first started getting phones. And what was so fun for them is it would show a photo of them and what's in front of them. So if they were riding in my Jeep or whatever, they did that, you'd see, you know, them in the Jeep and then what's outside, right? And, and so for a little while, I started using it just because my kids would see me. So I mostly used it with my kids. So, but I had a
Did you have the app on your phone? Did you actually?
I did.
Get
yeah, I'd open the app.
Okay, so you're one of those guys.
I was one of those guys, but then I started noticing it was just like friends of my kids, and I'm like, I'm not going to be weird. Okay,
I think you were officially the oldest be realer that ever existed.
I was. Yeah.
Like, so you're the very top end. And so I was an involuntary be realer.
Going, ew. And then that's
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, clicking so, off. Yeah, I was an involuntary be-reeler, so I will say that. Like, my children oftentimes got their be-reel notification, and I happened to be with them. We were sitting at the table, and they had me make the stupidest possible face so they could share it with all their friends in most cases.
That's right.
So,
look at my dumb dad. Yeah.
I think it would have been useful 2 years ago. I think today, this is the thing about social media platforms, is that it's always kind of a guess as to which one's going to take off and which one isn't. It was worth it giving it a shot. I think it's probably not something I would spend any time giving a shot to now. Yeah. Perhaps there's the great 2026 reawakening of Be Real that we're not forecasting right here. If that happens, let us know in the future. But as of today, I'd say Be Real would be kind of in the limited use, if at all. You know, if you have a very specific use case, maybe for a youth group where they share a lot of this content and they're all agreeing to do it together, great.
Yeah.
But probably no.
Maybe it was last and least. Sorry, be real. So, all right. So.
Well, good. Hope this has been helpful to you guys. That's kind of our list. If you disagree, I want to know. Please let me know. Especially if you have, like, some evidence behind it. Like, my church is killing it on Be Real, or, you know,
You've led 50 new people to the Lord this year so far from Be Real. Let us know.
From Be Real. That's it. Or if you have a great, I'd love to hear if you have a good experience on X or Twitter for your church itself. I don't meet a lot of those churches. So let us know down in the comments about that. Thanks for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See you.